Good evening, dear brothers and sisters. It was so good to see everybody this morning, and we welcome you to our evening service here at our home. And I just felt as we walked into the church building today, it just seemed like that we were all bathed in this heavenly sunlight, and it was just such a joy to see all of you and all your smiling faces, and it just, the anticipation and everything was just glorious, and I just thank God for that opportunity that we had to get together this morning. And hopefully soon it'll be, everything will be back to normal, and we're just looking forward to that day. It just kind of reminded me of a hymn in our Evening Light hymnal that I'd like to share with you this evening. It says, walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee.
Right.
Promise divine that never can fail. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine.
Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we want to go to a familiar text of scripture. It's in red letter in the Bible. It's the words of Jesus found in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse number 19, beginning. And the Bible says this, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs come and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things.
Yes.
But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.
Amen.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place a torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lengthy scripture reading tonight, and I know that the message I'll be bringing tonight is considered to be out of touch for this day and age. Amen. I know that the way people talk today, we should not upset people, but rather we should be all loving and kind, and that's true. But I say tonight, it's the type of message one still want to hear, as you don't want to be reminded that's the place they're headed, just according to the scriptures, if they're not saved.
Amen.
This type of message is not preached in too many pulpits today for that very reason. Surely all this is true, but we need also to obey the Lord.
Yes.
And we need to preach the truth, not what is popular, but rather we should preach, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
This is in the Word of God, just like the other scriptures are in the Word of God. Here in our scriptures reading tonight, we have before us the life, the death, and the destiny of two men. Many times I'm afraid the fear of God has been lifted to the place where a message on what it means to be lost has very little, if any, effect on people.
Yes.
I ask you to let the Spirit of God search our hearts tonight. And if we're on the wrong road, God will be true to us. Help us get back.
Yes.
Amen, where we belong.
Amen.
Messages on hell should bring a real soberness to our soul. It should make us afraid to be lost. Also afraid to fool around with God's word and to disobey it.
Amen.
There is a hell tonight.
Yes.
Whether ones believe it or not, it's not going to change it. Amen. But the same ones who don't believe that there's not a hereafter or a hell, they do believe that there is a heaven. But when it comes to being lost, they balk at the thought of a lost eternity. Did you know that Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven? Did you know that? Also, I'm sure that most of the New Testament was written to children of God so they wouldn't get off track and eventually wind up there.
Yes.
It's more than a word of anger and vulgarity. It's real tonight. Hell is so awful that you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there.
Yes.
Jesus had just finished talking with his disciples about not being able to serve two masters. And when the Pharisees, who were covetous, heard this, they sneered at him. Amen. And riches was a subject that seemed to attract the Sadducees and the Pharisees and get their attention. John, the second chapter, verse number 23, says this. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knows, every one of us tonight, he knows what's in our heart. Amen. And all it takes is the right circumstances to reveal it. Now, I know you know this subject well tonight, but don't let your familiarity with the scriptures cause you to not get the message. Every once in a while, we need to be reminded that as well there is a heaven to strive for, there's definitely a hell to stay away from. Peter, although preaching to a people who are well established in the truth, said this in 2 Peter 1 and 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Peter is saying, I'm not going to be careless and shun my duty and responsibility towards you. Somebody might say most everyone believes there is a hell, but that's not true. Not everyone does believe it. There are ones who teach that the grave is the end. Others believed in being annihilated, burned up, or, amen, just disappearing. But listen to the words of Solomon. Again, Solomon in the Old Testament was the wisest man in the Old Testament. God gave him his wisdom. God gave him his understanding. And God blessed him, amen, in many avenues of his life. But listen to what he's got to say in the book of Ecclesiastes, 12th chapter, verse number 7. "Then shall the dust, outer man, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, the inner man, shall return where? Unto God who gave it." Here we have a picture of the flesh and the soul. One came out of the earth, and the other came from God. When death comes, both return to their former origin. We have some who are living like they thought hell was a big joke, that God somehow, amen, somewhere was going to work it out. Amen. And they feel that if ones would Amen. Still maybe weren't saved. God was still going to let them go into heaven. Amen. Why? Because they feel of God's great love. But the truth is, God has worked out a way where every one of us can miss this. We have the gospel. And if we obey the gospel, dear ones, we won't wind up in a lost eternity.
Right.
Mark the 16th chapter, verse number 15. Listen to these words. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What will save you? The gospel. But he that believeth not what? The gospel shall be damned. God's got things worked out now. It's you and I that need to work out our part. But to the day and age in which we're living in now, there's too much playing church,
yes,
fooling around with temptations,
amen,
and not avoiding sin. Too much love in the world, things in the world. And no matter how much in love you are with the world, we're going to leave it all behind one day. We're going to leave the money that's in the bank. You're going to leave your investments. You're going to leave that nice house that you got. You're going to leave your car, your friends, your families. And then what's going to happen? You're going to become a memory. One day we're going to leave that which passes away, and we're going to face one that abides forever. I'm afraid in too many cases, there's too much surface and shallow living. God's got something better, amen, for every one of us than that. There'll be no purgatory. There'll be no millennium. There will be no second chance or opportunity. All these things taught in false religion to ease the conscience and take away the sting of death are going to be gone. Listen to what Paul writes as he writes to the Corinthian brother. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 55, coming down toward the end of that chapter. Paul writes this, O death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. What needs to be done for your salvation on God's part has already been done for every one of us. You've got one soul, one trip to this life.
Amen.
There's one salvation. There's one way. There's one Savior. There's one God. There's one Holy Spirit. And if you miss any one of these, you'll be lost. Jesus said this in Matthew the 16th chapter, verse number 26, for what is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Otherwise, what are you going to profit? What are you going to gain? Amen. If you had the whole world. Amen. Now we know there's nobody that's going to gain the whole world. But he puts out a metaphor,
right,
of what you gain if it was possible to have the whole world and still lose your soul.
Amen.
And otherwise, he went on to say, what would you be willing to trade for your soul? Some are willing to trade their soul for alcohol.
Yes.
Some are willing to trade their souls for drugs, gambling, partying. There's some that even live in adultery. Amen. There's some that's committed a crime and really should be locked up in prison. But I say this, are you willing to face God with those vices in your life? You see, many of these vices can be hid from people, but nothing gets hid from God.
Amen.
Facing eternity with something. Amen. You're facing eternity with something that's going to pass away. Amen. All you have to present God is what you've attained in this life. The world can't help you to judgment. Why? The world is going to be burned up. Listen to what Peter says. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. There's not going to be a millennium. There's not going to be no restoration of the Jewish nation. Amen. I won't get into that. That's another message. But the Jewish nation, amen, is the church today.
Amen.
We're what we call spiritual Jews.
Yes.
2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse number 9. Listen to what Peter writes. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. What are we going to do at a judgment? Amen. When everything pertaining to this world is burned up, dissolved, and melted. You know, we all have an appointment. And it's not an appointment we set up. There's nobody sitting around just trying to figure out when they're going to die. But rather, they're sitting around pushing that thought out of their mind. But we do have an appointment. And that appointment's not on our calendar, but it's on God's calendar. We don't know when, we don't know how, nor where. But one thing we know for sure, and that is we're going to die, and then we're going to face a judgment. It's going to happen. And I'm sure not too many young people are concerned right now about their soul, and the reason is they feel they've got plenty of time. And that may be true. You may have plenty of time according to the world standards. But what is that time you've got compared to eternity, where time will be no more?
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, the 27th verse of chapter number 9, says it's appointed unto men. Otherwise, it's set up. It's fixed. It's an appointment. It's not an appointment we can change. It's not an appointment, amen, and we can say, I don't want to go then, I want to put it off to another time. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, as we look into the subject of hell, there are some things the Scripture tells us about it. Every so often, we need to be reminded of it. We certainly don't have to preach on this every week, amen, but whenever the God inspires us, we need to obey God.
Yeah.
There is a hell to shun.
Yes.
Here we had in our scripture reading two different men, two different lifestyles, mm-hmm. and also two different deaths. Amen. Also, two different destinies. What took place after death was because of what took place before death. The rich man didn't have time for God, nor for the things of God. Now the Bible says he fared sumptuously, or he lived in luxury. Life was like one big party every day. Amen. He didn't even know what it was like to be in want. He never had to worry from day to day about lack of funds, because he had it every day. Everything that was needed to make a living after the flesh, amen, he had it. And he had it in abundance. He didn't wind up lost because he was rich. Amen. And he didn't wind up lost because he was cruel. We don't read anywhere in the scriptures where it said that he beat Lazarus. We don't find anywhere in the scriptures where he had his servants, amen, take Lazarus away from his gate and beat him. But he was lost because he was uncharitable, hard-hearted, and he had no feelings for others. Amen. And he needed his spirit to be changed.
Amen.
He did not glorify God, but took glory unto himself.
Yes.
It was nothing to him that outside his gate was a world of poverty. Listen to Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." But Lazarus was different. The Bible says he was a beggar. Otherwise, he was a constant sufferer. He lay at the gate of the rich man. Both men had some things in common. They both needed God, and they both were going to die. But death was a relief to the beggar. No more suffering, no more being in want, no more living hand to mouth from day to day.
Yes.
He went from suffering to comfort. During his death, he had one with him. The Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse number 6 says this, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, for it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." God's going to be with those who are saved in the hour of death.
Amen.
Speaking of the angels, Paul said in Hebrews 1:14, he said, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" But not only did the beggar pass away, but the rich man also died. But it doesn't speak of there being any angels to comfort him.
No.
And he didn't go to a place of comfort. But the outward man, the shell, was buried, and the soul or his spirit went to hell, the Bible says. All his wealth, his pomp, his splendor, his servants, all he had attained couldn't keep him from a lost eternity. Amen. And he went to hell because he didn't deserve to go anywhere else. Immediately, he was in torments. After death, the identity of oneself is preserved. After death, there's a conscious personal life. One of the torments of hell would be the undying memory of a misspent life, knowing that it didn't have to end that way.
Yes.
Look at how Lazarus and the rich man changed places in suffering. Mm-hmm. We read in Luke 16:21 about Lazarus desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. But the same chapter, down about three verses, in verse 24, "And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, son Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." The smallest of small request is denied. He didn't ask for a glass of water. He didn't ask for just a swallow or a drink, but rather the tip of Lazarus' finger dipped in water. That's not very much water. It's just a drop. All of his faculties were working. He could see. He could hear.
Yes.
He could feel. He could remember. And he also could desire. Hell is real tonight, dear ones. Torments are real. Suffering is real. The conscience is real. And also the thought of no mercy is also a reality. Hell is forever.
Yes.
We read in the 26th verse of Luke 16, it says this, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, or settled, or determined. So they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Yes. The comfort this world has to offer passes away. But the comfort of serving God lasts forever.
Amen.
You know, the soul does not need this body to function. 1 Peter 3 and 4 says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and which is not corruptible, even the armor of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Matthew 10:28 says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell, dear ones, tonight will be a terrible place to wind up. Jesus doesn't warn us of it to take it lightly, but to cause us to deepen down in our experience, to live closer to God so we don't have to wind up there.
Yes.
One writer said, "Ones must be fast asleep who are not startled by the thought of it." Hell is a place of consciousness. Amen. He awoke to reality. He wasn't dead in the soul. He was still conscious. The 23rd verse of Luke 16 said, "And in hell he lift up his eyes." What? "Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, son Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Hell is a place of torments. The rich man was doing something that he wasn't used to doing. Somebody said, "What's that?" He was suffering. Suffering as he never knew one could suffer.
Amen.
He was used to faring sumptuously. Otherwise, he was used to having luxury. Verse 23 said he was in torments. Verse 24 says he was tormented in this flame. He saw where he could have went, and that no doubt, amen, added to his suffering when he saw, amen, Lazarus afar off and comforted. In verse 28, he said he had five brethren. He didn't want to come into the place of torment. Hell also is a place of darkness. Do you ever hear this saying, "If I go to hell, I have plenty of company"? What good would the company do if everybody was suffering? But hell is a place of darkness. Matthew 25 and 30 says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth." Matthew calls it outer darkness. And that's a terrible place for a soul, in outer darkness. The soul that's in darkness now has a hope of the gospel. But in hell, he's surrounded by darkness without hope. It's a place of eternal separation.
Yes.
Luke 16:26 says, "Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." It's a place where there is no mercy. Nowhere do we read of mercy. Amen. In these verses. But whether we read otherwise, where just a little drop of water was denied. Otherwise, the smallest request is denied. The rich man wasn't used to not having what he wanted at his command. But now, the smallest of smallest of smallest request is denied. He was used to telling someone to get what he wanted. Used to commanding ones, but now that all changed. In verse 24 of that 16th chapter, he cried and said, Father, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Son Lazarus, he may dip, amen, the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You ought to take a glass of water sometime and just dip the tip of your finger in that water. And when you bring it out, that's all that he asked for. The smallest, tiniest request for water you could get. Amen. Mercy. He wanted mercy. Amen. But it could not be attained. But mercy is available now if one's want it.
Amen.
Amen. Now you might not want it now, but remember, when you do want it, you may be in a place where mercy is not available. The awfulness of hell.
Yes.
Let's obey God so that we know we won't have to go there.
Yes.
In closing, what does hell consist of? It's a place of consciousness. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of torment. And it's a place of eternal separation.
Yes.
And it's a place where all hope is gone.
Amen.
And it's a place where you're going to be haunted by memory.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be difficult. Having a memory of all your life and unable to change it. Amen. But it's a place where you don't have to and won't have to go. If you'd obey the gospel. This message is brought to remind us that it would be tragic to be lost. Don't trust in the fact that you've been raised in a religion or even around the Church of God all your life. But rather get your own experience. Amen. With the Lord. For that's what it's going to take on Judgment Day.
Yes.
Remember, you have the rule over what you do with your soul. God's not going to force anyone to serve him. God gives us the gospel. We don't have to obey it. We can reject it. No doubt when there's people heard the topic I was going to speak on tonight, maybe click.
Yeah.
It was turned off. But that's not going to change the reality of it.
Yeah.
I want you to turn with me to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse number 11. Won't be much longer. Revelation 20 and 11. Let's get a picture of the judgment scene. It says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is what's going to take place at the final judgment. There's going to be no do-overs. There's not going to be any saying, wait a minute. There's not going to be any, give me another chance. And there's not going to be any debating going on the record. Books concerning our lives, amen, are going to be written in the books. Now, whether we lived under the old or the new covenant depends on which book our life is written in. But then there was another book, and it was called the Book of Life. Those who have been born again will have their name written there. In closing, is your name written in the Book of Life? And is it up to date? Not because, amen, you repented years ago or a time ago, but is it still good and fresh today?
Amen.
If not, Amen. And if all you've got today is a profession, then you need to repent and turn back to God. We have read in the scriptures where it's possible to have your name removed from the book of life. And wouldn't it be something to live all your life in religion, giving, going to church? Amen. And have your name removed from the book of life? That could happen if we fooled around and played around with sin. Listen to the words of Jesus. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 3rd verse. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He went on to say, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which are not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I'll not blot out of his name out of the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All those letters, 7 of them, end with the same ending. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. As we close, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? If so, amen, you need to hear and hear to the place that you do something about it. God loves each and every one, that's for sure. God doesn't like necessarily the things people are doing. Amen. And God's against some of the systems people are wound up in. But God loves every soul. Amen. And His desire is and always will be that people, amen, miss this awful place called hell. Amen.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of his Spirit is lost. But you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and all the things it will win, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own? Even now it may be that line you have crossed. Have you counted the cost? While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted the cost.
We trust that you do that. Count the cost. Your soul is worth more than this whole world.
Amen.
There's not enough money in this whole world, amen, that would come up to the value of what you possess, your soul. Don't trade it off for something cheap in this whole world.
Amen.
Amen. But rather turn that soul, amen, over to God. Because why? That's where it's going to go back to you. In the end, anyhow, why not give it back to God clean? Amen. Just the way that God gave it to you. While we pray, our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we call upon thee tonight and ask thee, Lord God, to touch hearts tonight.
Yes.
Oh God, that you would just move upon each and every one in a special way. And to those, Lord, that who have maybe, Lord, gotten off, Lord God, the narrow way. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they got things in their life they had not to be.
Yes.
We pray that this will be the opportunity, Father, for them, Lord God, to get back on the straight and narrow way. Help them tonight. Lord God, we know you love them. You care for them. And we know, Lord God, according to the message, you don't desire anyone to be lost.
Amen.
Lord God, you want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember these requests we brought at the beginning, yes. Lord. Those that carry afflictions, those, Lord, that may hospital, maybe bedfast, and those that would have a desire, Lord God, to be out and about. Lord God, for some illness or whatever. Lord God, that they're unable. Be with the world, Lord, and be with our country, yes. Over this coronavirus. Mm-hmm. We pray that you'd hasten the hour when that thing can be put behind us and things return to normal. We ask it in the precious name, the only name of Jesus Christ. Amen.